disappointment, boy, that's, I mean, you've got to be able to deal with disappointment. That's a big part of life. Let's pray. Father, I pray you would bless. I need your help. I need you to guide my mind. I need you to speak to hearts as I speak to ears. I pray that you'd help us to learn and to grow in dealing with the whole matter of disappointments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But anyhow, disappointments are a major part of life. They happen again and again and again. There's all kinds of examples of people being disappointed in the scripture, and read you some of those here in a couple minutes. You're gonna be disappointed over and over and over and over again today. And then you got tomorrow and this week and so on. I just thought the food would taste better. I thought that, it's too hot. I thought that whatever it is, somebody didn't speak to me as nicely as I hoped they would, or my wife or my husband or my children or my bus route. Disappointments happen all through life. Jesus had disappointments in his, or apparently in his ministry. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. If you want to turn, we won't turn to all the references I'm going to give here, but if you want to turn to a few of them, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee, or gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus is saying there, man, I wanted all of you to come in. I wanted everybody to get saved, but all of you wouldn't. Now, if you worked on a bus route today or taught a Sunday school class or anything, my wife and I visit on a bus route just about every weekend. We're in Lexington. Yesterday we were here. Week before, we went out and visited on Route 25, and we had several. It was the first time we were running our buses there in Lexington since all this started, and we had several families lined up, and they were going to come, and just some of them you thought, I don't know, but several were just seemed definite, and bus pulled in. I went to the captain. I said, well, how many of mine came? And he said, none. Now, maybe that never happens to you, but it happens to me. I was disappointed. But on the other hand, Jesus said, and I thought, oh, children there on Mount Tabor Drive, how often would have I gathered thee onto the bus, but you wouldn't come? Jesus looked out and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to gather you in, but you wouldn't come. John chapter 20, I'll stick in Matthew here. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Since we're in Matthew, we'll read another one there. Chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, talking to his disciples, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? How long am I going to put up with you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil. He came out and so on. Jesus is a little bit disappointed. The disciples hadn't figured out what to do yet. Yeah, I've been with you a long time. You think you would have figured this out by now. Of course, you look at John chapter 20 and verse 27. Thomas didn't believe in the resurrection, even though Jesus had taught about it and everything else. And he said, Thomas, why didn't you believe when they told you? Why'd you miss church? Don't miss church Sunday night. He missed the assembly that Sunday night, missed seeing Jesus Easter Sunday night, what we call Easter now. Sunday night, and didn't get to see him, but and they didn't believe in Jesus. Man, Thomas, how'd you miss out on that? John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus says, can't recall that one. Let me read it to you. Luke, John has not known me. Where'd it go? John 14. And verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me, Philip answered, as verse 8 saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, have I been with you so long time? Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I mean, I've been with you a long time. Didn't you figure this out yet, Philip? Jesus, Matthew 26:40, he's praying in the garden and comes back and asks the disciples, you know, they've been saying, we'll die for you. And he said, well, pray for me. He comes back an hour later, they're all asleep. He said, I mean, you guys talking about dying for me, couldn't you at least pray with me 1 hour? Jesus was disappointed. At least humanly, I mean, as you read that. If Jesus is going to be disappointed in his life and ministry, it seems reasonable we're going to be disappointed in ours. You look out and you think, or you run your bus, or you teach your class, or you put effort into somebody and it seems like it doesn't stick, or whatever, I get disappointed. You'll be disappointed. Jesus was disappointed. You'll be disappointed in your ministry. You'll be disappointed in dating and marriage. You know, think about Jacob. You're talking about Bible examples of disappointment in marriage. Jacob worked 7 years to get Rachel. 7 years he waited for Rachel. And he got Leah. Now, there's that much wrong with Leah. I'm not against Leahs. I don't talk about being disappointed. And then he had both of them and he was disappointed again. You know, husband and wife won't do exactly what you thought they did or would or should or could, or you get disappointed. They get disappointed in you. You'll have family that'll backslide, be a disappointment. Brothers, sisters, children, family members, parents, cousins, aunts, uncles. Family members will disappoint you. Some of them will turn on you. Some of them will criticize you for standing for God. Think about Abraham and Lot. You know, talk Bible example, family. I mean, Abraham did so much for his nephew Lot and took him in and helped him so much. And then they came to the well-watered plains of Jordan, and there's not enough room for both of them in the same spot. And Abraham says, well, Lot, I don't care. You pick. You know, Lot should have said, no, Abraham, you take what's best. I'll take what's left. You're the elder. You've done so much for me. I refuse to take first choice. I mean, that's what he should have said. But he didn't. Selfish. He said, well, this looks better to me. Better, good place for, you heard it said, I suppose, you know, good place for raising crops and cattle, but it was a bad place for raising children. And and God's blessing in your life is not determined by where you live. It's determined by God. God is real. But anyhow, you think of Abraham, and I imagine even as Lot took the well-watered plains, and Abraham said, okay, I'll take what's left, and God pays my bills, and we'll be fine. And he had a little disappointment in Lot's reaction and everything else. Certainly had disappointment in Lot's lack of production, soul winner, and didn't even have all of his family saved. If he'd had he had three married daughters and three sons-in-law and two single daughters. I know he had two single and a wife and him, and he had at least two married daughters. Again, I think three, and that's why Abraham quit at 10. And he thought, well, at least, you know, I got Sodom spared. I got Lot's family. That's 10. But Lot's sons-in-law seemed to, you know, when Lot said to him, oh, God's going to judge the city, you know, the Bible says that they thought Abraham was joking, seemed as one that mocked. Yeah, are you kidding me, Lot? You know, God's been talking to you? Don't you think that was disappointing to Abraham? family, Eli's sons, 1 Samuel there, Hophni and Phinehas, the heartache they were to Eli the priest. You got the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, and the dad was heartbroken as his son says, give me my share of the inheritance, I won't take off. And you'll have disappointments in ministry. You'll have disappointments in dating and marriage, courtship, marriage, whatever. You'll have disappointments in your family. I mean, one of my biggest problems is you're going to disappoint yourself. You know, one of my hardest things to deal with is I disappoint myself so much. And Paul dealt with that, the apostle. You go through Romans 7, and he says, Romans 7. I don't know about you, but again, I disappoint myself. Paul the Apostle had the same problem. Verse 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. I want to do good, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but another law. Unless you're a better Christian than the Apostle Paul, you disappoint yourself. Either that or you have such low standards that, I sin all the time, but who cares? Someplace in there. Hopefully you're disappointing yourself because you got a goal to grow and improve. And the Apostle Paul says, man, I want to do good, and I want to do good, and I don't ever want to do that, and I don't want to have this feeling or this attitude or this thought, but it comes, and I disappoint myself, and I mean to pray more, and I mean to read my Bible more, and I mean to witness more, and I but I disappoint myself. Disappoint yourself with sin, you disappoint yourself with unreached goals, you disappoint yourself with procrastination. Preacher's talking in Sunday school hour, we have 168 hours in a week. Did I get out of that 168 hours what I wanted to get out of it? I guess in some sense we all do. But looking back, there's things where I thought, I can think, man, I probably, where did that hour go? What happened in here? You disappoint yourself in achievements and not reaching goals. College students and classes, everybody first day, they intend to pass every course and get A's and never get any demerits or save money and come out money ahead at the end of the semester. But it doesn't always work. And you get out in life and you've got goals too, and financial goals and family goals and things like that, and it doesn't always work. I remember my dad teaching about finances, there's always these if only things, this had been a good month and I'd have gotten ahead financially if only I hadn't had to buy new tires for the car. And next month I'd have gotten ahead and I'd been good financially if only somebody hadn't gotten sick. And next month it's if only it hadn't been Christmas. And the next month, there's always something. There's always an if only when it comes to finances, budget, and everything else. Disappointments are a major part of life. Disappointments in unanswered prayer. I prayed for this, and I prayed for this, and I really thought God was good, but he didn't answer the way I wanted anyhow. Think of John chapter 11 and the death of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and said, man, we prayed, Jesus, and we wanted you to come and to heal him. And John 11:21, if you'd have been here, Jesus, he wouldn't have died. And some ways, they're almost disappointed in God at that point. No, God, Jesus, we figured you would do this. We figured you would care for this, but you didn't. Why, you know, what took you so long in getting here? Of course, that situation, God's plan was better than her plan. And that's generally true. Well, it's always true. God's plan is better than your plan. And if you're not careful, you start getting disappointed in God, and that's just a dangerous place to be. When you start getting disappointed in God, it's because in my mind, God, or your mind, you know, God didn't do what I wanted him to do for me. But God doesn't exist to make me happy and make my life what I wish it would be. I exist to glorify God and praise him. And as I do that, God gives me joy and peace and everything else. Don't ever want to get disappointed in God. I mean, again, disappointments are going to come into your life. And you'll have situations. And, you know, I can think of a lot of disappointments in my life and things that have happened to me through the years and some situations that are somewhat disappointing now, et cetera, et cetera. But how are you going to react to those? What are your choices when you're disappointed? Well, you can quit. Well, my wife isn't what I thought she'd be, and she isn't as nice as I thought she'd be. I'm disappointed in the way she's treating me. I'm out of here. I mean, you can do that. You know, I went to church, and nobody said hello to me. They've forgotten that, and they didn't remember my name, and they didn't, whatever. And I was disappointed that, so you can say, well, that's it, I'm quitting church. You can say, well, I ran a bus route and I just must not be a very good bus worker. We visited and put in some time and things seemed to go well in the route, but nobody came. There's no point in me going. I guess I'll quit. Kids wouldn't listen in my class. Little boy kept wanting to talk about Batman. I kept trying to get him to be still. And I was embarrassed and everybody was laughing. And I was trying. Not going to have that happen to me again. You weren't here in the Sunday school opening. And not going to have that happen to me again. I guess I'll just quit. And that's not the right thing to do. You are the only one that can destroy yourself. No one can destroy you but you. He'd be like Lot after Sodom burned, has lost his married daughters, sons-in-law, lost his wife. You can go out and be like him, go out and get drunk. Quit on the whole thing. That's what Lot did, and then the other problems that came with that, and this problem after problem after problem, because Lot quit on God in the middle of all that. But quitting is not the answer to anything. Again, you're the only one that can destroy your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. I want to keep going. I want to keep working. I want to keep winning souls. I want to keep trying to serve God. And a preacher in the Sunday school lesson was talking about, you know, the joys that soul winning brings to me. And I want to keep going soul winning because of all it does for me. And he said, maybe that's selfish. Maybe, look, God set it up. I preach about heaven sometimes and talk about the rewards in heaven. And people say, well, you shouldn't serve God for the rewards. God set up the program. All I'm doing is telling you what he put in the Bible. And somebody said, well, you shouldn't give the kids candy or prizes or whatever for coming on a bus. They ought to come to church just because they want to. I mean, I guess so. But on the other hand, when Matthew got saved, he invited all of his friends over and gave them all a big dinner, and Jesus was the guest speaker at the dinner, and a bunch of Matthew's friends heard the gospel. So I guess if it was okay for Jesus to go speak when everybody got a free dinner to come here and preach, Maybe it's okay to give them a candy bar when they ride the bus. I mean, say, well, they should, you know, I mean, anyhow. Rewards are all through the Bible. And God blesses and blesses and blesses when you serve him. There's no doubt about that. But anyhow, you can quit. Secondly, some people, I mean, they don't really quit, but they don't go forward either. They just go through the motions. I'll keep going. I'll stay in church. I'm going to stay in a marriage, but it's a lousy marriage, and I get mad at God, probably quit later. I don't understand why God did this to me. I don't understand why God allowed this to happen. Again, God doesn't exist to make you and me comfortable. I exist to glorify him. And if I learn to accept day by day and with each passing moment, didn't we sing that one in church here just a minute ago? God gives it. We sing a tent or a cottage. Why should I care? They're building a mansion for me over there. And that's true. We worry too much about things down here and our circumstances and everything else. So you can quit when you get disappointed. Or you can not quit but just go through the motions and not go forward. You know, I'm just kind of existing here. I kind of checked out of church. I mean, I'm showing up still. And I still put a dollar in the offering plate, or I still put my tithe in the offering plate, but that's it. I'm not in the program. I'm not behind it. That ain't going to bless anybody. Or you can just keep going. Acts 20:24, Paul said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy in the race that is set before me, or something real close to that. Hey, I got all these problems in life. I got disappointments. But I'm not going to let that move me. I'm going to keep going forward. And when you do that, God has a way of blessing and turning those disappointments into joys in many cases. Some of the things that happen in life you can deal with and say, well, I mean, just forget it. You know, I mean, I was planning to go hiking, but it rained, and so I couldn't go hiking. I was disappointed. But it's not that big a deal. I mean, I can forget that. You know, we were going to go shopping all day, but the stores were closed. And so I couldn't take my wife to the mall for the day because the virus hit and the stores were closed. And I'm so disappointed. But I'm able to forget that and get over it. You know, some of the disappointments you can forget. Some of them you can't forget. Some of them you can work to overcome. You know, there's a story of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and so on in the Bible. And, you know, the lady who lost the coin, I mean, she was really disappointed. I think part of a wedding thing or something, maybe. But anyhow, she was disappointed, lost a coin, and so she looked till she found it. Now, I'm disappointed maybe those kids didn't come on a bus last week, but I can go visit them again or go find somebody else. And, you know, this one didn't listen, but that one will. And I can keep investing in people and work to overcome that and just say, I'm just going to keep going. And I want to just keep doing what's right. You've got the lost coin, the lost sheep, things like that in the Bible where people work to overcome the disappointment and bring the blessing, find that again. Now, the prodigal's dad couldn't, he couldn't go get his son back. All he could do is wait. But he did wait and didn't quit. What would have happened if he just said, man, this is it. This is crazy. Tried to rear my boy right. And, this has happened. It's crazy. He's gone. I'm out of here, out of this business. I'm just going to sell everything and move out, go somewhere else. When the prodigal came home, there wasn't anything come home, wouldn't be anything come home to. I'm glad the prodigal's dad didn't quit. I mean, he had to be heartbroken. The attitude and everything else of that prodigal son. But anyhow, some of them you can forget about, some of your disappointments. Some of them you can work to overcome. You ought to always remember that God is good. God is always good. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them are the called. Many of the times our disappointments in life are because we're valuing things from an earthly standpoint instead of from a heavenly standpoint. And we're worried about a financial setback or health things. I mean, sooner or later we're all going to heaven, I hope. I mean, I am. Hope all of us are. It's easy to settle if you're not sure. But 100 years from tonight, probably, other than maybe one or two real little kids, 100 years from tonight, we'll all be in heaven or forever or hell forever. And, what kind of house we lived in down here. I mean, my goal, if God gives me good health, I want to use it to serve him. God gives me poor health, I want to use it to serve him. I'd rather have good health than poor health. Who wouldn't? But I want to serve God regardless. I want to have an attitude. I want to, God is always good. You don't want to keep God on trial. Well, God, if you do this for me, then I will. As you get to praying, when you pray for things, sometimes, God just kind of changes your prayers. You started off praying for healing, then you're praying, make it a blessing. Trust that God is always good. Again, God does not exist to make my circumstances what I want. I exist to serve God and glorify him, whatever my circumstances are. Don't ever get to the point that you're disappointed in God. That's getting dangerous. Now you're getting rebellious and stubborn. So when I get disappointed in life, I want to keep going forward. I want to keep trusting in God. I want to keep serving him. And God has a way of making things pull together and just bringing it out. Again, you go back there to Acts 20:24, and Paul says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy. So that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. When we have disappointments in life, let's decide, I want to keep trusting God. I want to keep going forward. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, the examples in Scripture again and again of disappointments. Thank you for Abraham and people that dealt with the disappointments and went forward. Thank you for the example of Jesus that never turned aside, though people disappointed him again and again. Help me to keep living for you even when I disappoint myself and others disappoint me. Help me to keep glorifying God. Wonder as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if somebody say, Brother Jorgensen, that message was a help to me. I've had some significant disappointments in my life recently. I'm going to pray. Would you pray for me that I'll keep going forward and serving God? I don't want to get on the shelf. I want to keep going forward and serving God in spite of some big disappointments recently. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? See several hands around here and there. Anybody else? Wonder if there's anybody here tonight or this morning that would say, Brother Jorgensen, you mentioned 100 years from now we'd all be in heaven forever, hell forever. I'm not sure where I'm going. I want to go to heaven. I really do want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I will. If you're not sure about going to heaven, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Is that one there? Okay, I see one. Anybody else? Okay, let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. In a moment I'll pray, and then after I pray, the pianist will begin to play. If you raised your hand about being unsure of heaven or desiring to go forward in the midst of disappointment, I'd like to invite you to come down to the altar and pray. Father, I pray you would bless. Pray for anybody here, especially ones I'm not sure about heaven. They'd settle that today. Anybody else that's not sure, pray for many of us. And God, we all have disappointments again and again in life, and some disappointments that are just ongoing with family. Help us not turn aside, but to continue serving you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.